Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, we had planned to have a segment next on moving and living in a different country. But the person was already living in a different country, in Portugal. And we ran into some problems with connections there. So at the last minute, we decided, you know what, we're going to do an open line. And we're going to have you tell us about shows that you think would be good for this show, for this topic, for this time segment. So from 11 to 12:30. So if you have some ideas, I hope you'll join in. The number is 800-642-1234. Or if you want to email us, you can email your idea in as well to ideas@wpr.org. You know, I think it's always, we could always do a better job in promoting our book club selections. And each year, we do five. So every couple of months, we do a section. And we have a book, and we have them all set up for the year. The first, of course, you just heard, Dreaming in Spanish by Sara Alvarado. Wonderful book. We highly recommend it. And we do spend a fair amount of time on selecting these books. We go for a Wisconsin author. What's one criteria? Could be a Wisconsin author. If not a Wisconsin author, we like the stories to be set in Wisconsin or at least in the Midwest, but we really lean to Wisconsin because we want that local tie. So let me just tell you quickly about the upcoming books for 2024 after Dreaming in Spanish. In April 25th, there's a novel. It's titled The Restaurant Inspector, written by Alex Pickett. And it's a dark comedy, and it's set in Wisconsin. And I'm just starting now to sit down to take a look at it, to read it myself. So that's April 25th, The Restaurant Inspector, and June 27th, the title is The Peacekeeper. It's a novel by B.L. Blanchard, and I'm really looking forward to getting into this. This is against the backdrop of a never-colonized North America and a broken Ojibwa detective embarks on an emotional and twisting journey towards solving two murders, also rediscovering family and finding himself. And so it's set in a never-colonized North America. Is that cruel? It's titled The Peacekeeper, B.L. Blanchard. August 22nd, we'll be looking at the book Blue Lake. It's written by Jeffrey Bolt. And Blue Lake sets the stage for a thrilling mystery. It's set against the rich beauty of black spruces, white pines, and austere upper Midwest lakes. A very compelling and richly layered story about nature and our place within it that lands with a rare, I think, emotional depth. An emotional depth like you just heard in Dreaming in Spanish. A different way of looking at it, but certainly there. So that's August 22nd, Blue Lake. And then October 24th, here just in time for Halloween, that we have the title When I'm Dead. And it's by Wisconsin author Hannah Morrissey. A spooky story set for next October, kind of in October 24th, so it's just before Halloween. So we thought that would be a perfect book. So April 25th, The Restaurant Inspector. June 27th, The Peacekeeper. August 22nd, Blue Lake. And October 24th, When I'm Dead. And I believe if you go to ideas@wpr.org/Larry, you will find that listing. At least I hope you will. They should be there with the dates and everything. So if you want to get into this a little more, and we're going to try and do a little better job letting you know as each comes up, but I can recommend the books that we've got coming. So now let's take a look at what you want to know, or what you would like to have on the show. And again, the number to call is 800-642-1234, or you can email us, email address ideas@wpr.org. And let's go to Zach in Appleton. Zach, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. Love your show. You are increasing the bandwidth of all young minds and old minds alike, and I appreciate that. I just wanted to bring up a topic that it's a point of contention for my household with my fiance and myself is childcare. We have a 3.5-year-old daughter. My fiance is pregnant. I work full-time. She, unfortunately, is working full-time as well, remotely, thankfully. But relying on your parents, sometimes that option isn't there, or it comes with some additional issues or concerns that you weren't aware of. But any tips of places to go for childcare, affordable options, any grants or subsidies that are offered, and what else we can do to help the workforce, the younger workforce, continue to provide for the economy while taking care of their children. And I'll take my answer offline. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Zach, very much for that. Childcare, that's something, and I was trying to think about when we have last done a show on childcare, and it's been a long time. So, and it's certainly on everybody, on a lot of people's minds right now. So, we have noted that, and we will take it to heart. Thank you. Helen in Wisconsin, your turn.
I would like a program on geothermal for heating your home in Wisconsin, if there's contractors and what the costs are and the probabilities of it being successful, where you drill straight down into the ground to get your heat and bring it back up.
As a matter of fact, yeah, and it's come up from time to time, and I can tell you that I have my own home is a geothermal. I have, and I did it the way you're talking about now. There are four 180-foot holes sunk in the driveway of my house that brings up that 55-degree air. But there are, and that system is probably 12 years old, 10, 12 years old right now, and we put that in when we moved into the place. And there are issues with it. There are some issues with it. It has to be installed properly, and and at the same time, there are new systems that or revised systems that may even work better, and there's even some potential funding opportunities for it. So, Helen, I can promise you we will do a show on geothermal. Thank you very much for that suggestion. Let's see. Again, you can join in. Number to call, 800-642-1234. Email to ideas@wpr.org. Jane in Manitowoc, we'll go to you. Hi, Jane.
Hello, Larry. Thank you so much for all the wonderful shows you've done over the years.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. I would love to have some WPR shows on VA benefits. And I was a county veteran service officer, accredited nationally for 12 years. And I also teach now as a volunteer online now that I'm retired. And VA's own data shows that less than 25% of our surviving dependents, meaning widows and such, are receiving the benefits they're eligible for because they simply don't know they exist. And yet VA does nothing to advertise.
Well, I tell you what, I'm all for a show on that, Jane. It's and maybe if you have some ideas about maybe you have some suggested some people that you think might be good for the show, maybe rather than even saying those names, or maybe you want to think about it for a bit. Shoot me an email or shoot the program an email. For me, it's just meiller@wisc.edu. But if you send an email to the station and put it for my attention or Jill Nadeau's attention, if you have some suggestions. Otherwise, we certainly can look up ideas for guests, but I think that's a really good point you raise. And we'll follow up. Thank you. Let's go to Cheryl in Berlin. Hi, Cheryl. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Yeah, my husband had a very severe stroke 4 months ago, and I would really appreciate a show on what causes different types of strokes and caring for a person after he's had a stroke.
Boy, you know what? I think that's another. I mean, these are all good topics for sure. And stroke has come up on the show, and I think it's in those kinds of situations. Sometimes it's good to have a doctor on who deals with strokes, but at the same time, having someone who is sort of on the social side of recovery. And having two at the same time, and I know in the past it's been I don't even remember when it was last time. It's been a few years where we had a pair on like that, and it turned out to be a very illuminating discussion. So, Cheryl, we'll look back into that, and we will see what we can come up with. My own father had a stroke, and it was a hard time getting through that. I had a friend who had a stroke a couple of years back, and the outcomes and getting through the social part of it can be difficult, to say the least. So we'll look into it, Cheryl. Thank you. Anne in Sturgeon Bay, your turn. Hi, Anne.
Hi, Larry. I think it'd be interesting to hear about any research that's been done on the effects of screen time on young children, their social development, language development, and in later years, their reading ability. I know Wisconsin is looking at statewide reading curriculum right now, but I haven't heard any talk about putting our young children on a screen and that effect.
Yeah. And of course, a lot of them were, nowadays, so many kids have their own screens, their own phones, even at a very young age. And of course, the screen time, thinking back to 2020 and 2021 and even 2022, is kind of forced in the education side even to look at more screens. Even when they're not looking at their own personal screens, they may be taking classes that way. So a good topic and one we can follow up on. Thank you. Let me turn to Sheila in La Crosse next. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I was wondering if you could do a program on the needs for high-functioning autistic adults and perhaps housing and services and the maybe unique mental health care needs they might have.
We can indeed. Sheila, thank you so much for that question. And high functioning adults. There's a television show that's produced in France. It's called Astrid. That's the title, and I've watched the three seasons of it, and I'm eagerly awaiting the fourth. And it has to do with a woman whose name is Astrid, or Astrid, we might say. It's in French, so it's subtitles. If you don't know French, but it's very compelling. She is a highly functioning autistic who happens to work in the criminal records division in Paris, and because of her special abilities, which many autistic people have, she is because she knows the records so well. She is able to put together, to help put together solutions for murders that occur in Paris. Anyway, that's just an aside, but I wanted to put in that plug for Astrid. And the nice part about it is that there are many autistic folks in the film, in the series. And so you learn a lot about various types of autism, and while you're also getting kind of an exciting story about the solution to murders. It's kind of a strange thing, but well, we won't talk about a street on the show, but we will. We can get somebody to talk about those services and about understanding autistic adults better. Thank you. Gianni in Montello, thank you for calling.
Yes, good afternoon, Larry. Hey, listen, I would like to hear a show on the status and potential vulnerability of our power grid here in the United States. You know, for I think most of the 20th century, and certainly now in the 21st century, we are been ever reliant on electricity, unless you're Amish or in a very remote area. And I think this is one of the most pivotal topics that we could be discussing right now. What is the status of our power grid, and what would be the ramifications of it going down for weeks, months?
Days even.
Well, even days are a problem, right? But, you know, Ted Koppel wrote a book about 10 years ago, Lights Out, and he painted a very dismal picture going forward because of the power grid and its reliance on foreign components. They're not manufactured here anymore.
Gianni, thank you so much for that. We'll look into that as well, and it's obviously it's an important issue for all of us in this country and other countries as well. So certainly worth a look for sure. Thank you. Jesse in La Crosse, what's on your mind?
Hey, Larry. I've been a longtime listener, and, you know, on Chapter a Day about 8 years back, I heard a book called The Heart of Things by John Hildebrand, a Wisconsin author.
Yeah.
And I just fell in love with all of his works. So I was wondering if you'd be able to have him on the show to do an interview sometime.
I have had John on the show for some interviews, but and he's such a thoughtful speaker and, well, a very thoughtful writer, but also a very thoughtful speaker. And he's always on my list. If John gets a new book out, we typically, unless one of the other shows happens to see it first and steals it away from us, we have him on. So I can promise you, John's next book will have him on the show. Thank you very much. Sue emailed to suggest a show about a way for a college student to get financial help other than just loans. When the FAFSA says the parents' income disqualifies them for grants, but they don't help their child with college expenses, summer jobs just don't cover enough. So, yeah, so the parents, they have enough income maybe to live, but not enough to qualify them, the student, for grants. And so FAFSA, we can look at FAFSA, we can look at loans, and certainly I have a daughter now as a junior in college, so I know all about that. I had some luck along the way for me that helped, which I will divulge during that discussion when we get this going. Thank you. Amy in Milwaukee emailed to ask for a show about what happens to the cars when they're donated to WPR. And I think, I am not completely sure. I think Lee Rayburn usually takes them and sells them. No, no, he doesn't. We could, you know what? We should get Sarah Ashworth on the show and have her talk about. There are a lot of questions like that she probably has the answer for, and I don't necessarily off the top of my head. So I'm going to put out, Sarah, if you're listening, we want to get you over here to be on the show so you can answer some of these. There are other questions, too, that people have relating to WPR that I know there'd be a lot of calls in, not only about the cars, but about a whole lot of other things as well. And Mike in Madison, what's on your mind for a suggestion?
My suggestion is an add-on of one of the previous callers about our electrical grid and how we're so tied to it right now and how that will affect our electric car market, as we can't even keep up with air conditioning in half of the United States with brownouts and blackouts. How are we going to accommodate multiple million of electrical cars, and how are we going to deal with the process of all these electric cars now? Are 80% of them are made from petroleum-based plastics, non-recyclable, non-renewable plastics, and where are we going to put multiple millions of cars and solar panels and wind turbines in new dumps? I think it would be a great topic. How are we going to deal with all this electricity and electric car leftovers?
Good questions, Mike. And I know there's at least one engineer at the University of Wisconsin-Madison who is doing research ongoing about that topic. So we will definitely look into that. There's a show we do the last Monday of the month that often involves topics like this, and so we'll do that. And Margaret emailed, suggest homegrown national parks. Homeowners can bring their nature back and support diversity right in their own yards. Entomologist Doug Tallamy, we've talked with Doug in the past, and we will have him back. So thank you for all those suggestions. Thank you for listening. Tomorrow we'll be talking about heirloom seeds with Jer Gettle of Baker Creek Seeds. Always love talking with him. That's tomorrow on Garden Talk. In the meantime, thank you so much for listening. And please stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network. I'm Larry Mueller.